Good morning, church family. It is good to be here worshiping with you today. And boy, wasn't that some music this morning. Thank you, Campion Academy, everybody, for being here and for helping make our worship service extra special this morning. I know everybody here is enjoying the music as much as I am, and there's a little bit more music, too, after the sermon that you can look forward to as well. An American soldier named Chad Reed was in the wonderful, beautiful, completely safe country of Afghanistan. And he was there deployed, and he was about ready to be sent home for a break. So he was very excited. He was ready to go home and see his family. And he had been in town, and he was back to where he was going to be packing up his stuff. And he reached for his back pocket, where his identification and credit cards, etc. were. And where his wallet should be, it was empty. Anybody ever, guys, you know, you keep your wallets right back here. I always, especially when I'm in crowds of people, I'm always checking, all right, if I got my pockets, I'll kind of tighten it up. Okay, good, my wallet's still there. I'll make sure I've got I can feel it there in the back of my pants. It's a panicky feeling when you feel that your wallet is gone because you have so much stuff in there. Well, for Chad, it was an even bigger deal because he couldn't fly home without all of his military identification. Plus, losing your credit cards in a country like Afghanistan is not a really good thing either. So he lost all of this, all of his important identification, and he didn't know what he was going to do. Luckily for him, though, there was a civilian aircraft mechanic named Bill Peasley. Bill Peasley was walking to dinner in town, the same town, and he happened to look down just at the right time, and he saw a wallet. He opened it up and was trying to figure out how to get it back to its owner. Kind of tricky when you're in Afghanistan, though, right? Well, he figured this guy needed his wallet. He didn't know anything about the flight that was going out later on that day. So he hopped on and started researching. He got online, got on Facebook, found this guy's mom on Facebook right here in Denver. Figured out, also got in touch with his grandpa in Pennsylvania. And through Facebook, they figured out where this guy was. They connected all the way over in Afghanistan, met up, and he handed him his wallet full of his credit cards, his military ID, and his money. And Chad was so excited to find his wallet because it meant so much to him. Have you ever lost something that meant a lot to you? It feels terrible, doesn't it? And you look all over the place until you find what you're looking for. And when you find it, you're like, yes, this is what I've been looking for. I've looked high and low, all over the place. Finally, I found what I'm looking for. It feels good to find something that has been lost. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. We're going to look today at a very short parable that Jesus taught. It's red letters in my Bible, and it's three verses long. Just three verses long. That's all we're going to look at today. And this is what the parable goes like. This is just after the parable of the lost sheep and just before the parable of the lost son. Luke chapter 15, verse 8. It says this, "Or what woman having 10 silver coins," how many silver coins? 10 silver coins. "If she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And amen to that. When one sinner, and this the meaning of this parable seems very simple. Jesus explains it right at the end. "Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." When one sinner spills their heart to Jesus and says, "Father, I know I've done wrong. I want to change my ways. Please forgive me." Jesus says that there is a massive amount of joy and celebration with the angels of heaven when that happens. And I believe that's true. So during the week, if you have some time with God, and there are some things you need to share with Him and ask for forgiveness for, know that that act of humility puts a smile on the face of Jesus and of the angels in heaven. What a cool lesson for that story. And you're thinking, wow, is that the shortest sermon I've ever heard? Is he done now? We'll talk later, Steve. One of my mentors when I was a teenager, and I learned how to study the Bible, he told me this. He said, you've never really figured out what's in a text in one verse unless you've asked 50 questions about it. And I remember thinking, 50 questions? Have mercy. What if it's Jesus wept? Can I even do that? I don't know. He said, "For you, in order for you to really get the meaning of what is in some of the verses in the Bible, you should be asking at least 50 questions. So that was one of my challenges growing up, was to figure out how many questions I could ask about specific verses. So, in looking at these three verses, this one seems pretty self-explanatory, right? Jesus explains it very well. So what are some questions we could ask about the verses, these three simple verses in the middle of the book of Luke? Well, I enjoy studying the Bible a lot, and in reading through the Bible, I have noticed that a lot of times there are things that are said that mean or represent something else. So we've got several different pieces or characters in this story, and we're going to click through here. Let's ask ourselves, what does a woman represent in the Bible? Because we see in the very beginning it says, or what woman having 10 silver coins? What does a woman represent in the Bible? Revelation 19:7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. So tell me, what does a woman represent in Scripture? God's church. We see that several times in Scripture. What does a candle or a lamp represent in Scripture? Because that's the next thing that shows up. She loses her coins, and she goes and lights a lamp. What does a candle or a lamp represent in Scripture? Psalms chapter 119, verse 105. That's a lot of verses in one chapter, isn't it? 105 verses. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a what? A light unto my path. So what does a lamp or a candle represent in Scripture? God's word. What does it mean to light a candle? Is there even any reference to this in Scripture? What does it mean to light a candle? Psalm 18, verse 28, it says, for you will light my lamp, or my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. So the act of lighting, it's beautiful the way the psalmist says this, the lighting of the lamp means enlightenment to darkness. So lighting the candle means what? Studying the Bible to understand truth. What does light represent in Scripture? And this one's kind of an easy one, isn't it? Psalm, and again, we've got a lot of great verses here from the book of Psalms. Psalms 43, verse 3, it says, oh, send out your what? Your light, and then what? And your truth. Let them lead me. John chapter 3, verse 21 says, but he who does the truth comes to what? Comes to light. So light in Scripture represents what? Truth. Light represents truth. What does darkness represent? If we know what light represents and light represents truth, what does the Bible say about darkness? What does darkness mean in Scripture? Psalms chapter 82, verse 5 says, they do not know nor do they understand. They walk about in what, everybody? Darkness. So darkness equals what? A lack of understanding or error. We see that several times in the Bible. So what is she looking for? Silver. Silver. What in the Bible does silver represent? Is there anything that we can see in Scripture about what silver represents? Psalms chapter 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words like what? Like silver tried in the furnace. So what does silver represent in Scripture? The words of God. Now here's where it gets kind of interesting. What in Scripture are the words of God that are separated into 10 portions like the 10 coins this woman lost? I can only think of one. The 10 Commandments. The words of God separated into 10 parts. To me, it makes sense that it's the 10 Commandments. What is the meaning of the sweeping? Is there any meaning to this? So, when you sweep at home, what are you sweeping up? Dust, dirt, right? So, what does dust or dirt represent in Scripture? Does the Bible use anything to refer to dust or dirt? What does it represent? Job chapter 10, verse 9 says, "Remember, I pray, that you have made me like clay." What is clay? It's kind of like dirt, right? It's in the ground. It's made out, it's the ground. "And will you turn me into dust again?" So we have a very close connection between people, humans, and dust. Again, Joshua chapter 11, verse 4. It says, "So they went out, they and all their armies with them, as many people as the what? Sand on the seashore." Again, we have a very close correlation between people, humans, and this dust, sand, clay idea. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. This one should be familiar. "For the Lord God formed man of the what of the ground? Of the dust of the ground." So dirt, clay, or dust equals what? Man. And what is that dust doing to this coin? The words of man are covering up this one silver piece that is the word of God, which is part of 10. I think my clicker's on me here, but I think it's not working so well. Here we go. Okay. So to recap some of the things that represent different things throughout Scripture in this parable, it says the woman, which represents what? The church, had 10 silver coins, 10 bits of the Word of God, which means what? The 10 Commandments, and lost one of them in the darkness. She lights a lamp, or begins to study, and receives light, which represents what? Truth. And sweeps away the dust. What is the dust? The words of man that are covering up this truth. And finds the lost silver coin. And rediscovers the one that was lost. Now, what commandment was lost out of the 10 that God put together? This one. The fourth commandment. There were 10 portions of God's word. That's the only thing I can find in the Bible that talks about 10 specific things that God said. And throughout history, we've seen that one of those coins was indeed lost, wasn't it? But yet God's people throughout time lit the candle and started to study again for themselves somewhere around the time when it was available to them again. Because remember, this period of darkness, they didn't have access to Bibles and things like this. They weren't even in English. And the candle is lit. And the Word of God turns out to be a lamp and a light to the feet of the people who were searching desperately for God's will in their life through Scripture. So that fourth commandment, one of God's greatest gifts that He's ever given to any human, was the gift of time to be together with Him. And Sabbath is one of the most beautiful times of the whole week for me. You might say, "Well, Jamie, you're a pastor. This is the busiest day for you." That's true. But still, this is by far the most special day of the whole week for me. You know why? Because a very, very long time ago, God set that day up to meet with me for my whole life. He cleared His schedule for every seventh day of the week of this earth. So I clear my schedule so that I can spend that time
that he has reserved to spend with me so that I also can spend that time with him.
It's important enough for God to set aside a whole day. That's how much he wants to spend time with you. How many of you are busy during the rest of the week?
I'm busy.
We all have lots of stuff going on during our weeks.
And yet this is the perfect time every Sabbath for us to put all that stuff away and to take that time that we may not have had throughout the rest of the week and spend that time in communion with our Heavenly Father.
This last picture that I'm going to show you is of a friend of mine. And it's a very blurry picture because he took a selfie with low light with his cell phone. This is a guy named Brandon Duke. Brandon was a church member of mine out in California. And Brandon had a really cool story. God had really been impressing on his mind that he needed to spend more time with him and learn more about him in the scriptures. So Brandon was just a ferocious student of the Bible. This guy, I mean, like 4 hours a day in the Word. He just couldn't get enough. And he came across the idea of the Sabbath in his studies. And that's how he ended up on the doorstep of our church. And the Sabbath meant so much to Brandon. It was the highlight of his week. He would come into church with a big smile. He became one of our deacons and one of our greeters. And he had two beautiful daughters that would come in and come to our Sabbath school programs, part of Pathfinders. And Brandon just had this joy about him. He loved the Sabbath. Brandon made ice cream for a living at the Dreyer's Ice Cream Factory in the southwest part of Bakersfield. Big old Dreyer's factory. If you ever eat Dreyer's ice cream, there's a good chance he had a part to do in that, in making that ice cream. And one day his boss said, "Hey, Brandon, I'm going to need you to come to work on Saturday." A smile came off of Brandon's face. Single parent, has to have the job to support his two girls. Really needed that job, and it was a good job. And he wrestled with this idea. He was praying about it. He came and saw me and said, "Jamie, I don't know what, I mean, I can't give up my Sabbath. Sabbath's important to God. It's important to me. I believe it's hugely important in my relationship with him to have that time every week." He said, "But I got to feed my kids. What do I do?" So we prayed about it, and he was able to work some situations to where he had some other people sub for him on Sabbath. And I would always kind of wonder, is Brandon going to be in church on this Sabbath? Is he going to be there? And every Sabbath, Brandon would show up to church. And he said this to me. He said, "You know what, Jamie?" He said, "I think God's going to work this out because I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing what God asked me to do, to take that day off and to be with him." It's not just any day to be able to do that. We worship God every other day, but God made this day for me and him to spend time together. And I just can't do it. He says, "I'm on to be working next Saturday. Starting Friday night, I got to work the graveyard shift. They're going to expect me to be there. I'm not going. I don't know what's going to happen." So the week went on and the week went on. And Friday night happened and I was praying for Brandon. He stayed home, showed up at church Sabbath. And we had a great Sabbath. Later that week, he said, "Hey, Jamie, boss isn't too happy with me. Would you mind coming with me to talk to my boss to explain this? He thinks I'm making all this up." So we went and visited with his boss. And we'd been praying this whole time, "God, make a way for Brandon to be able to get Sabbaths off. Make a way for him to be able to spend that time with God that he needs so much in his life. Make a way for him to be able to honor God by coming to meet with him every Sabbath, just like God has asked us to do." And so we went
We met with this guy, and he had some questions. I don't think he'd ever heard of a Seventh-day Adventist before. And we shared a little bit about what we believe and why we believe that. We didn't know what was going to happen. Brandon wasn't very optimistic. And so we left, and Brandon called me a little bit later that evening. And Brandon said, "You're never going to believe this," he says, "but the guy's had a change of heart. He's changing my schedule so that now I can have Sabbaths off. I get to keep my job. I get to keep taking care of my girls. God came through so that I could meet with him every seventh day. God cleared his schedule, and he also cleared mine so that I could be with him." When I look back at this parable, and I look at maybe what Jesus was kind of trying to share in that parable by using some of the things he did and talking about the importance of the Sabbath, I can't help but think that as we sit here together and worship as a group, that there's a smile on your Savior's face, knowing that since he cleared his schedule for you, you cleared your schedule to be here and to be with him on the special day that he made for the two of you to be together. What an awesome God, as he slips little reminders throughout Scripture so that we can know he cares so much about us and loves each one of us and desperately wants to spend time with each and every one of us. We're going to have a few more songs now, and I invite you to just enjoy the rest of the Sabbath service here. Think about how special this day is for you and your God. As you listen to the music, imagine the music of heaven. Imagine the smile on your Savior's face as he sees you sitting here worshiping him and learning more and more about him today. I've enjoyed some awesome music today. And what a tone that is set for our worship today. And you've heard me say this before, but whenever I hear good music like this, it stretches my imagination how heaven's going to be with the music there. And I look at these young people who can play all these instruments, and I think maybe the Lord will have some sort of musical instrument training in heaven that we can all be a part of that too somehow. It sounds great. Campion, thank you so much for being here, for singing, for playing, for sharing your talents that Jesus has given you to help bless our congregation. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Happy Sabbath, Father. It's good to have been here with you today, to worship with our church family, with our guests, with the kids from Camping Academy. And Father, we've been blessed today by music. We've enjoyed reading in your scriptures about some of the things that you share with us to encourage us. And now, Father, as we part ways for a few days, keep our courage up, keep our faith in you strong, and help us as church family to lift each other up and to strengthen each other and to point each other closer to you and towards you is our prayer today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.